I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Trying to play that music, but it failed miserably. Never mind. Ooh. Welcome to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio on the 10th of February 2006, and some new, well, not new, but new faces to be seen together at Krypton TC.
Good evening.
Hey. Yes.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Had a pretty good day, I guess, because it's Friday.
Definitely.
Yes. How are you guys?
End of the week. I'm good, thank you.
Yeah.
Not doing too bad. Been playing around with lives today, video editing suite for Linux thing.
All right, how's that working out?
That's pretty good, actually. I've just been having a little play around with it.
Yeah.
And you can do loads and loads of cool stuff. But yeah, it's basically mainly for VJs and kind of like has syncing with music and all kinds of effects and generators you can get for different stuff, and it's really good.
Wow.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Linux isn't really renowned for its video editing capabilities, is it?
Well, not at the moment. I think this could change it, though.
You think so?
Yes. Currently in beta, if you go to lives.sourceforge.net, it's still not version 1 yet,
but right.
Apparently version 1 is coming out very, very soon, and it's not totally stable at the moment. I've had it crash a couple of times, but, you know, that's what you expect from a beta, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it will be fantastic to get yourself a nice video editing app for Linux, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Linux is it's based around a lot of, you know, open source software, but how good would it be to just have an open source video editing?
Sure, yeah.
It'd be fantastic.
What's it like, as in GUI front? And I mean, I've done a bit of
the GUI itself is very, very nice.
Yeah?
It's really easy to use.
Fantastic.
All the kind of features are done through this little bar along the top that has a huge amount of useful features, and the amount of features on this software is just insane.
Yeah.
And it's all built totally modularized, so anyone can build their own plugins,
right,
and generators or effects for it, which is pretty damn cool, really.
Yeah.
It's all out there. And even in beta at the moment, it's got a huge amount of plugins. So,
so it's not, is it processor intensive and RAM intensive as
bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I recommend the 2 GHz processor for it, but I've had it running on a 1.65.
Sure.
I mean, for straight video editing, it's not too intensive. You can run it on a just over a gigahertz processor probably, but, you know, for actually doing VJ stuff and doing syncing to music, then you need something that's a bit more powerful.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, which is the same with anything, really. You know.
Yeah.
But then again, you can invest more on the hardware front, and because you don't have to concentrate on the you know, licensing of the software, because the video editing software is pretty expensive, and you're looking at you know, for anything good, you're looking over a grand's worth of investment, let's say for Final Cut or something like that on a Macintosh.
I mean, it's getting there on Linux, especially with this now and with Blender that's come out, and that's really had a lot of progress in the last little while for 3D editing.
Right.
So, you know, it's all coming together, I think. It's
cool.
Getting better all the time, but then we've been saying that for a long time. It's a gradual process, and there's not one thing to totally blow everything away. But,
it just takes a little while for it to mature.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah. Looks like things are really progressing well. So
how about you, TC, or should I call you Titch, or how the hell do you pronounce your handle?
Take your pick.
Well, I've always called you TC, so...
Yeah, it's good for me. Yeah. I like that. It's better than... what someone else called me the other day? Tiak.
Tiak.
Makes you sound like a spaceman.
Tiak from the Hoggins galaxy.
That'll shoot you down with my ray gun.
Yeah, I always thought it was teak, but that sounds like a bit of wood.
Yes. So if I calls you Titch, don't know why. I call you TC. Somebody calls you Dak. Or Teach.
Call me what you want. It's good fun.
Yeah. I guess my one's pretty bad to pronounce. Loads of people get that shit wrong. So is it Bilal? Bilal? It's Bilal.
Oh, dear. Belial.
Belial. It's a very old biblical name. In fact, it also extends from Hebrew as well. Bilal or Belial. Belial. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Handles are very strange things.
Yes.
It's always hard to find a decent handle, you know?
Mm.
But I do think, to be honest, you've done a very good job with Bilal. It's probably one of the best I've seen around.
Excellent. Well, I've had it for quite a while, you know. I've had it since I was about... since I really had to have a handle out on the internet, so, you know.
Yeah.
So I was into my Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, and Bilal was a new, quite a renowned character. And that kind of stuff, you know, one of the demons and shit.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, that sounds cool. I'll have that one. So,
yeah. Well, most people seem to think up good reasons why they've got a nick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just
came from Dungeons and Dragons, that's fine.
Yeah.
So what about yours? Where did yours come from, Crypt?
Pretty much the same, really. I just thought it sounded cool at the time. Yeah. And it just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
There's no big reason. I did have Red Mist before Crypt.
It's not bad.
But then I had to change it after a certain incident with Pipex.
Right.
Well, so yeah, Crypt does sound a lot better, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
And again, another day that LucasAid has undoubtedly outdone himself. On the news hound front.
Oh, definitely.
He's really doing a good job there, yeah.
Keep it up, man.
Yeah. Thought I have a little go today myself. I had like half an hour off that I could just browse the net. Found two stories. You were just talking about one, TC, before we went on air. And another one from Metrotron. About NCL cable is beginning its 100 megabit service next month, which is just like, you know, come in your pants kind of speeds.
Slow, man.
No, you wouldn't have to. Your porn would be constant there. You know, you could do that like streaming.
Yes. No more ASCII porn. You're going straight for the flesh colors.
Hell yeah. Oh, fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how fast it's progressed, you know? Just sitting there, I remember thinking a while ago, no way, broadband's coming out soon.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. And that's like 100 megabytes per second. It's insane.
Next thing you know, we'll have, like, you know, Cat 5 cables instead of phone lines. Just straight Cat 5 into a little router, and off you go. You know,
I don't think it's that far away. You know.
Well, you know, we've got the voice over IP, so I mean, it's pretty much coming to that point.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll cost them too much to rewire certain houses. I mean, you've got, fiber is pretty much standardized. It has been for a very long time, although it's very expensive. Mm. I believe a kind of, I don't know, maybe a hybrid of Cat 5. There's been loads of rumor mills about some sort of high frequency, high bandwidth stuff going via gas pipes and stuff like that that they tried to pioneer to do. Don't think they were very successful.
Yeah, they tried to do it over the electricity wires until they realised that in most houses you share an electricity wire with several other houses at the same time. So essentially anyone within those other houses could tap your internet connection, which they didn't think was very safe, so they decided to go through phone lines again.
Well, yeah, they were trying to do it the way that cable works. You basically share the bandwidth, and the cable box picks up on your frequency. So you have different frequencies within that bandwidth range, and you have to share that. So if somebody's munching away on the bandwidth, you won't get as much in peak hours. And asynchronous digital subscriber lines work sort of the same way, whereas synchronous digital subscriber lines, SDSL, works much better than that, but it's far more expensive. You find SDSL in business environments, those things cost a bomb, like $2,000 a month, but you're looking at a very high speed
constantly
DSL connection, very, very top notch. I'm quite content with my 8 megs. However, I'd love more, but I haven't had any issues with the speed so far, so it's good.
Cool. Yeah, I'm still stuck on 2 megs here.
Do you live far from your exchange?
Not too far, no, but it's just live in a shared house, so everyone else didn't want to pay for the 8 megs.
So yeah, I'm under the same situation, I'm afraid, except the thing is I live in the sticks, so I'm pretty goddamn far from the exchange.
Sucks, man. Move to the middle of the sea.
Yeah. Love to there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty mad.
So how's your little server coming along there, TC? You said you were planning on introducing some sort of project for us, as in Hack Your Box or something like that.
Say the word under construction comes to mind. Yes. Well, that was a bit of a thing. The graphics card kind of got fried on it. been worried about, but no. Yes, I kind of forgot to turn off the power, which I'm quite embarrassed about. So I left it plugged on, plugged in, as I was kind of fiddling around with it, and
right.
Oh dear. So no, I just got a little another one from work. I'm gonna pop that in. Just basically, it's gonna be a basic Linux system. It's gonna have Red Hat on there.
Right.
I'm gonna stick a few holes to make it easier for some people.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to make it really kind of quite secure, and I really want to see people going at it as much as they can.
Yeah.
And just see what they can get, man.
Yeah, excellent. I was actually thinking of, of a different way of doing it. I don't know. Because they're hack my, root my box, whereby the box is completely secure and you try and break into it.
Yeah.
I was thinking of turning the whole concept on the head and having the box completely unsecure. So that you have to basically get into it as fast as you can and then secure it from the inside out so that nobody else can get into it.
Yeah.
Like a kind of, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. King of the Hill, and trying to keep it. Let's say it's running Apache or something like that, and then you have to deface the website with whatever your handle, and then somebody else bypasses what you just did to make it secure, and then leaves their handle, and then how long they've been on, and etc. So you have to, by learning what you did to secure it, you learn how somebody else bypassed those securities, and then the whole story moves on, and then you have like a whole report on what happened in the month or something like that. I don't know, what do you think about that?
That sounds goddamn good, actually. I never even thought of it that way.
Yeah,
man, with too many ideas.
Yeah.
I've got SUSE Enterprise, as I was saying to you a while back, I've got that on the way.
Cool.
So I was hoping if I can get that in time, I'll get it up and running with a thing, but if I can get a SUSE Enterprise on it, it'll give you a kind of a nice real situation.
Yeah.
It's like the Novell one, pretty up to date, pretty fancy. And, it'll give you kind of a nice realistic outlook into what service will be like. Yeah. That's what I want to go for here, because you've got a lot of these Root My Box things are kind of, you've got a lot of too much basic stuff there, It's all set for it.
Yeah.
But you want, real kind of almost a business situation.
Sure.
Just to kind of to prove it. You know,
make it realistic.
Yeah.
You know, have a few services running on there. Maybe a pardon me, fake database or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little quick one we could throw together.
Mm. That would be interesting.
Definitely.
Certainly have to have a go at that.
Be fun.
Yes.
But I mean, if anybody has any ideas, or you know, anybody wants to kind of chip in and help out, and
yeah,
tell me, you know, what, yeah, anything they'd like on there, then just let me know, and I'll see what I can do.
Well, we could just have kind of a scattergun approach to all the services, get them all working, and then leave the people to secure it themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did
Yeah.
Got a new a member on the show there in the background.
Yeah, sorry.
Cool. Yeah, didn't want to get my what was I going to say? Newsletter that I sent out to all the members.
I don't think I have. I haven't checked my email in a while.
All right.
Not too good. I've been based on my other email for the moment with all my job hunting.
Sure.
I'll quickly bring it up now.
Cool. Well, I sent out a forum-wide newsletter, basically to whoever, you know, registered with a correct email address on the forums, got it. And basically, it's just a request, because this episode, today's episode on the 10th of February 2006, episode 99, is in eve of the 1,000th episode of Hacker Voice Radio. Now, we had an idea of making it kind of a very special episode, because it's the 100th episode. It's the 100, sorry. That'd be 1,000. How does that work now?
By the time it gets to 1,000.
Yeah, it depends where you put the decimal point. an open invitation to any comments or suggestions or ideas, whatever you think might be cool or interesting to to have as you know, as a topic or whatever you could ever think of putting on to 100th episode. It's remembered, should I say.
Definitely.
So yeah, definitely check your emails, people.
Yeah. I was thinking we should probably get someone sort of reasonably famous on there, I don't know.
Bill Gates.
Yeah, Linus Torvalds.
We'd be slagging Bill Gates off for days.
Yeah. At the moment, I could quite easily go slagging Linus Torvalds off after the GPLv3 stuff. But I've done that enough on this show already, so I'll leave that for now. But it now looks as if he's going to climb down anyway, from what I'm hearing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's basically now dropped his objection to DRM, and he's claiming that it's this one tiny portion of the code which says essentially that if you encrypt anything, you have to include authorization keys to allow people to access the source code. Now, some people are saying that this means that they'll have to distribute private keys and stuff like that. But as far as I can see it, it's a matter of saying that if you're going to do digitally signed binaries, that's fine, that's got a use in a security environment. Now, the problem comes is if you're going to encrypt all your source code and not give people your source code, but only give encrypted versions of your source code.
You might as well not release it on the GPL.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and this is the kind of thing that if you're going to release under GPL, you need to release source code in a form that people can access and people can modify.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to distribute your private keys to everyone who comes along just so they can access the digitally signed binary. I mean, that's just not the case. Mm. But yeah, it looks like things are moving along and Linus might climb down on that, which is hopefully going to happen.
Good.
And a news story that he's found, very interesting one, is the 40-meter fuck. here in Friday Post, so for you, you're a member of a highly advanced alien civilization and have just traveled to Earth in your hyperdrive-powered spacecraft in intending to enjoy a long weekend break. The trouble is, you can't decide whether to A, nip over to a rural Idaho abduct a farmhand and anally probe him before modifying his DNA and dumping him back on the highway. Or B, pop down to Billingley in Yorkshire and have a epic message for humanity in a cornfield. It says, fuck, in very big words. And a little exclamation mark stating profanity right next to it. And something else along the side. I think it says Eddie or something like that.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Eddie fuck. huge letters, like 40 fucking meters.
maybe that was the alien's name.
Yeah, maybe.
Eddie
fuck.
Eddie the alien.
Well, it beats Crop Circles for crowd-pleasing entertainment value. Quite who Eddie is and why his name is written in a rural Ligurian will never... we'll have to leave that up to the listeners to explain. Those who Google Earthed can take a closer look... in Google Earth, less highly evolved humans can try Google Maps, or should look for a couple of hundred meters west of the Afro mentioned village in Billingley. The plot thickens. Further investigation of alien invasion can be found of a couple of fields to the southwest. Coordinates are 33 degrees, 31 degrees, 45 degrees north, 1 degree, 21... how the fuck do you read this shit? I think it's... I don't know.
I have no idea.
53.31.54 north, 1.21.24 west. Be very afraid.
Or you can just go to the link and click on Google Maps here.
Yes, that might
it's
help.
Really
and it's another fancy crop circle.
It is. It's an oh my god fancy. Hacks crop circle.
It's not that bad. I mean, if you're an alien come down to England and saw what Sovereign State England's in, I mean, what else would you put in a crop circle?
Fuck.
Yeah, maybe it was a kind of a, or, you know, this crop circle's around, so they've kind of gone northwest a bit and gone, fuck.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Eddie, you fuck.
Crushed our spacecraft at Roswell, you bastard.
You know, those whole crop circle things, how are crop circles made? I think people are so stupid not to realize how they're made. It's so simple. Look at a crop field, okay? They're like, we can't find any points of entry. What about those huge tractor marks that literally you can take a whole mower down them without even disturbing anything because they're already been, you know, mowed down, and then go ahead and crop, you know, cut your way around and then move around to the next circle, cut your way around and then move around to the next one, moving along with the tractor marks. It's very simple. That's how they're made.
Yeah.
At least, you know, you can actually see that all the crop circles are attached to one of these tractor marks. If there was one that was not, like, in the middle, and two tractor marks equally each side opposite of them, then you might question that. But,
I mean, you look at this one on Google Maps, and you see the K. It's just right in the tractor mark. And
yeah.
It's kind of at the bottom of the U's there as well. So.
Yeah.
That's basically... Well, that's how I believe that they're made. It's quite simple. Although that specific one was not... cut into, but seems to be cut out of the field. If you see how the field has been actually harvested already, and it looks like that those have just been deposited, the fuck has been deposited. It's been fucked, basically. With.
Yeah.
Fuckity fuck.
That's great.
Yes, enough profanities. There shall be no swearing on the show.
Fuck that then.
Damn it.
This is a fucking child show. Family. Oh, I don't know.
Ah, my profanity button's broken.
Damn it.
You
get the sack then.
It's been broken for the last 4 months, but, you know, nobody's even bothered to fix it.
In other news, Hacker Voice gets sued for using too much bad language on this show.
Who would sue us? I don't know. Bin Rev.
Probably get sued by Microsoft.
Yeah.
Yeah, patent on profanity. Yeah.
And Hack and Voice Radio News, all our episodes will now be encrypted with DRM. For your pleasure.
Yes. Interesting note on that. I've actually managed to find a little hole in.
That's right, you would. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, this is quite interesting because I was trying to get the IT crowd to play on Linux yesterday, and the only way I could do it was through a little Wine editor playing Microsoft Media Player through Wine.
Yeah.
And I set some of the directories to be read only, the memory directories, and it dumped me a nice copy of the unencrypted key there. So I was quite pleased with that. So I'm currently in the process of writing an
exploit
for this.
Yeah.
Should be up within the next few days.
Fantastic. That's quite fantastic. And you're going to release that in the forums?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, everywhere.
And in games news, this is quite an interesting one. A bit controversial, should I say. The British Red Cross has told GamesIndustry.biz that it hopes to work with developers to prevent the illegal and detrimental misuse of the Red Cross emblem in video games. From the article, it is important for video games manufacturers not to use the emblem in their games, including for matters related to humanitarian purposes, such as first aid or general medical care, said Michael Meyer, head of the international law for British Red Cross. Red Cross condemns misuse of emblems of its emblems in games. Now, I didn't actually know that the Red Cross emblem was a trademark. I always thought it was just a standardized, generic
health kind of thing.
Health, yeah, exactly. It's weird because it's been used for years, and apparently the Red Cross sued Boy Scouts because the Boy Scouts had a health badge, or I don't know, one of their health ratings when you like go through health and safety or survival or something like that along those lines, you know, related to medical care, and their badge was a Red Cross, but they sued Boy Scouts and made them to change the badge from red to actually a green cross.
So that's really lame.
It is really really lame, and I don't know. I mean, come on, guys, fuck's sake.
I mean, what are they going to do? Spend all their money suing people or actually helping people?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for the money they spent on lawyers, they could probably feed half the third world.
Yeah. Mm.
God. Yeah. It's quite pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah. You know,
it's a case of, oh no, that's our logo. Because it got so famous, let's make sure everybody knows it's our logo by suing everything. God. It's getting too heated now.
God. Well, just to throw some petrol in the fire, it appears that well, we were talking about this before, the RFID implant scheme. A something video surveillance company, Cincinnati. Is that
Cincinnati.
Right? Cincinnati, right, okay. See, I've forgotten how to read things. Video surveillance company, CityWatcher.com, now requires employees to use very chips, yes, baby, human implantable microchips to enter a secure data center. Until now, employees entered the data center with a very chip housed in a heart-shaped plastic casing that hangs from their keychain. Very chip is a glass encapsulated RFID tag that is injected into the tricep area of the arm to uniquely identify individuals. The tag can be read by radio waves from a few inches away. The news was reported by Saspian. Consumer against supermarket privacy invasion and numbering. They can be found at www.nocards.org, a U.S. organization that operates the use of surveillance RFID cards. That opposes, throughout CityWatcher, although CityWatcher does not require its employees to take an implant to keep their jobs, they won't get into the data center, so that means they can't do their job. Yes, that works, doesn't it?
Completely wrong, then.
Yeah.
Silly.
if you were working in the data center and suddenly they brought this in, I mean, who wants a radio chip implanted in their arm? I mean, unless you're Kevin Warwick, of course. He's got a radio chip implanted everywhere in his body. Yeah. He's half bionic anyway. But yeah, I mean, normal people like you and me, I don't want a radio chip in my arm. I don't want a radio chip anywhere near me.
No. I mean, it's just...
I'd hate the idea of having a radio chip inside me, but then again, I'd be intrigued to have one to see what it's like, to see what you can do with it. You know what I mean?
So well, you can get into, you know, high security areas. That's about it.
Well, I mean, they're already saying there's a book titled Hacking the Prox Card, which is later on in the same thing. Saying they recently demonstrated how the very chip can be skimmed and cloned by a hacker. A cloned chip theoretically could duplicate an individual's very chip implant to access the secure area.
Sure.
So, you know, therefore, it's not any safer.
Well, you know, RFID is fundamentally unsecure.
Mm.
Because you can read it from a few inches away. Doesn't matter if it's up your ass, in your eyeball, or in your hand, you can still read this device.
Yeah, exactly. Meters away, in fact.
Yeah, it depends on the kind of kit you have to do this.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because we've done an experiment with it at What the Hack in the summer. I think it's up to about 10 to 15 metres. You can read a radio chip with some high-powered equipment, you know. So it's not really safe.
No.
Yeah. Oh. We are getting into the bionic age, aren't we?
Yeah.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir.
This is
your national identification number is 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. Hmm. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife, Betty, subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
Want to stop this from happening?
And that was just a little shockwave file of basically an example of being hooked into the system. It's just I'll have to post this up right now on the forums. Sorry for interrupting you two guys with that. I don't know if you heard that too well.
No, that's interesting.
It's basically a guy ordering a pizza. And they've got everything, all the records of this person, just from him calling. And then, oh, right, okay, well, I'm sorry, but apparently, you know, we have to charge you extra because due to the health risk. And then finds out that, you know, there's been a murder in whatever, shoplifting in his area. Now he has to pay extra and now all this stuff. And they have all his personal medical records. Now, that's just an example of what's going to happen to us very soon if we have to, you know, go for this ID card. And you will be literally, you know, you try and... Maybe not as extreme as ordering a pizza, but certainly, you know, getting a job or signing up to something or, you know, going to a restaurant or God knows what, you know, you could extend this
to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's weird because they're always talking about this 1984 police state and somehow that we're getting towards it. No, sorry, we're already in a 1984 police state. And in fact, the only difference between the book from 1984 and where we are today is that they turn the cameras off at night.
Yeah.
You know, here they don't. You've got the lights turn all day round, infrared.
Yeah.
And everything. It's good to see that they're making the ID card not compulsory anymore.
Yeah, well, they have to. They've been forced to.
It's a great step making it not compulsory, because it still means that whenever you go to claim benefits, you're going to have an ID card.
Yeah.
Whenever you get a passport,
yeah,
you're going to have an ID card. Whenever you go and do anything, pay tax or anything like that, you're going to have an ID card. So I fail to see where the non-compulsory bit comes into it, you know. Just because you're not going to get arrested for not carrying it doesn't make it not compulsory.
Yeah.
So it's not really that much of a climb down, is it?
No.
Which will be a case of you have to get one, but you'll end up having to keep it at home somewhere. And then eventually they'll probably end up coming compulsory.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, it's going to be implemented. And someone's going to turn around and say, yes, but actually, if people are always carrying these, it's going to make it so much easier. And if they're not carrying them, you know, it's going to cause all this hassle, blah, 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 and they're all just going to, yeah, it's just going to go worse.
Yeah.
It's going to go downhill.
Yeah,
and just an interesting little news story I found. Google copies your hard drive. Government smiles in anticipation. I don't know if you guys heard about this. It's
Pushed
up. Yeah. Google today announces a new feature of Google desktop software, greatly increasing the risk of your consumer privacy. If a consumer chooses to use it, the new search across computers feature will store copies of the user's Word documents, PDFs, spreadsheets, and other text-based documents on Google's own servers. Interesting. To enable searching from any one of the user's computers, EFF urges consumers not to use this feature. Coming onto the heels of serious consumer concern about government snooping into Google's search logs, is shocking that Google expects its users to now trust it with its contents of their personal computers and personal files. The EFF staff attorney Kevin Bankston, unless you configure Google Desktop very carefully, Google will have copies of your tax returns, love letters, business records, financial and medical files, and whatever other text-based documents and desktop software can index. The government could then demand these personal files with only a subpoena rather than the search warrants it will need to seize the same things from your home or business and make cease, you won't even have to be notified in times to challenge it. And you also may include, your spouses and fiction, your business partners or rivals, whoever wishes to get into your systems and into your personal documents can cut out the middleman, you, and subpoena Google for your files. This is some very scary shit. It appears that Google is severely going down the evilness path, and very, very scary shit.
Then again, you've got to realize how many people are actually going to allow that kind of stuff to happen.
Sure.
I mean, you know, this sort of stuff gets out about Google, and I don't think anyone there's going to be kind of like stupid enough to actually allow them to do that. You know, it'll turn it off. Even if they're using Google Desktop, they'll turn that feature off, because it's not, you know, nobody's going to want that kind of shit.
But that's not necessarily true, because, I mean, I train people in, like, to use the PCs, and you see people every day, and they don't know a thing. They'll either end up accidentally downloading Google Desktop, or they'll download it for another feature and just have no idea about it.
Well,
and it'll just be used automatically, you know, without their kind of permission, almost without their knowledge of it.
Well, this brings well, you've just said onto a story that IBM is going to be bundling Google Desktop in all its desktops that it sells. So you're looking at about 100 million people with Google Desktop with this thing on default, and Google having all their personal documents and files.
Isn't that totally illegal though, if Google has it on by default when you install it? they don't tell you about
well,
it.
Well, I don't know if it'll actually be on default, but it sounds like
certainly that would be illegal, because they can't just upload all your files to their server without telling you about it. You know, that's sort of like stealing all your data. That's essentially a virus.
Yeah, exactly.
Then again, you're going to have, there's going to be something, you know, that's going to come up and say about, like, you know, it's going to have it in a very attractive way. We can store all your data on here and here, so you don't have to worry about backing it up and, you know, things like that. And then people are going to think, oh, yeah, let's turn it on. Yeah, and then that's where it goes.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people are going to go for that, though. I think that's...
No, I definitely won't.
No way.
No.
It's that story about the BBC putting the only gay on your mobile. The Crazy Frog ringtone was annoying enough, but the nation's on the nation's pubs and trains and public airspaces will soon echo to the sound of Vicky Pollard moaning, yeah, but no, but Daffid asserting I'm the only gay in the village, and Andy stating I want that one. As the BBC Worldwide launches the first mobile content service, the corporation's commercial arm will today announce plans for servicing offering video clips, screen wallpapers, ringtones, and a host of BBC shows, alongside ringtones of catchphrases from Little Britain characters, Daffid and Shirley, Miss Pollard, and Phony Paralytic Andy, and the service will allow users to download a 2-minute clip of David Brent and all that kind of stuff. It's I think that the reason they're doing this is in reaction to already placed services out there from various companies which have these things, but they're not actually endorsed or done by the actors. They're just done by impressionists. So possibly they could be like, okay, well, we're providing a service now. We're just going to sue you if you ever think of getting an impressionist to do that. You know, I'm sure people have heard these ones already out there on the market, where people can download these kind of sound clips.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just going to turn to hell.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, God. So the Crazy Frog's bad enough.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't actually know anybody who liked the Crazy Frog. I mean, I think it was like kind of fad for like a 5-day thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, that's quite amusing. It's a little frog with balls. I mean, and suddenly it's just, yeah, I thought... It became really famous, but I thought it was infamous more than anything, because nobody seemed to like it.
Yeah.
Now there's just so many annoying ringtones. I mean, I saw one an advert for one the other day called Eargasm.
Yeah.
It's just people, you know, making orgasm noises down the phone. Who really wants that? You know, you're sitting there, you know, next to some nice innocent old lady or something, and suddenly your phone starts going, oh, yeah. I mean, what's the point? I don't understand it.
Oh,
this whole fad
for
crazy ringtones.
The worst thing was when I was up in Lancaster at the weekend, we had this taxi driver, and he just would not shut up, and he insisted on showing me all his ringtones as we were going along. I was just begging, it's like, just get to the destination, let us know, like, oh, I'll pay you double, just go faster, you know? And he was just like, all these ringtones, like, there was Little Britain on there, there's small bits as well, the Jackass stuff.
Yeah.
As well, and like all that kind of stuff, and oh my god, I just walked out of that cab as soon as possible. It's the annoying taxi driver I've ever had.
Well, to be honest, I just want to know what happened to the good old ring ring, just like something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, the phones are meant to ring, therefore ringing is good enough. I mean, yeah, fair enough, a good tune maybe is it, some music's quite good.
Mm.
But you have all these annoying things that, you know, make you just want to shoot yourself on a Monday morning.
Yeah.
Or shoot other people.
Or shoot other people, yeah.
Or shoot whoever invented the damn ringtone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to get done for murder since I've been there.
Jamster!
Oh, God. Well,
seal it back.
Yeah.
Who wants to talk about the Sony Ericsson phones vulnerable to Bluetooth attack?
Da, da, da.
Yeah. I mean, this is hardly news. I think every phone's vulnerable to Bluetooth attack, isn't it?
Yes. That is true. I mean, but what I've noticed is I think it's it's very, I don't know, it's getting really dodgy now, some of them. I mean, I never thought it was more of a denial of service anymore. It's like, two companies reported this week, the flaw is found in four models of the Sony Ericsson phones. I mean, these are like the new phones as well. An error in their Bluetooth service, according to an SRIRT advisory. The Bluetooth fails to properly handle a malformed L2 cap, FRSIRT. A France-based security company said in an advisory post on its website, the Danish security firm Secunia reported the same flaw, and both companies have rated the potential risk as low. So it's not even that much of an amazing thing, but you can do it within 50 feet of the handheld device as long as it's got Bluetooth turned on.
Yeah.
And you can just send malicious code and it just crashes the phone. The user won't know until they next try to use their phone. It's like, I've been dust on my phone. What am I going to do?
Oh, no, my megahertz have been stolen.
this is really not news, I guess.
No, it's
Bluetooth phones are always vulnerable to attack.
I mean, everybody knows Bluver now, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody remembers the Bluetooth virus that hit a few years back. It wasn't really a virus, it was a worm that basically, what it did is it would jump on your Bluetooth device, replicate to another one, jump on another one, then try and get out. The only problem with it is that it would keep on trying to send itself down a signal, so eventually it would wipe your battery out. The simple solution for that is don't have your Bluetooth on. And many people out there that are listening to this, they're probably hackers, and they probably are Bluetooth sniffers or whatever you call them. You know, you just turn your Bluetooth on, whatever mobile device you have, and put it into scan mode. You'll figure out very soon that you have a lot of Bluetooth devices around you that are put on default by these idiotic phone users, and they just have them on default for no reason. You don't need them on all the time. It just wipes your battery out. So, there's a simple solution to that. Very simple. Just don't have it on until you need it.
You can have it in hidden mode.
Yes.
I mean, so all the devices you want in, connecting between, like, say you've got a headset that you kind of still want to use, at least have it in hidden mode, so then it keeps a connection. And then nobody else can see your device then. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic. And apologizing to the people that do leave it on, but why? I mean, you have no use for it until it's needed for then, there and then.
That's why
it has an on and off feature.
It's got absolutely no use being on all the time. You know, it's not like somebody can contact you through Bluetooth. All they can do is try and establish a connection, and that's it. You know, it's just it's a bit ridiculous, a bit stupid.
Yes.
But then most people are.
True. Me included, I think.
Well, I'm sure you don't have it on all the time.
Oh, no, not Bluetooth, just generally stupid.
No, it's questionable.
Yeah, I love it. There was one news article I saw, which I thought was pretty cool. Unfortunately, not over here. But, pirates pursue a political point.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new Swedish party, a political party, that aims to abolish copyright laws that criminalize file sharers.
Wow.
I thought that was absolutely amazing. Richard Folkdinge decided to start a political party at 8:30 p.m. on New Year's Day. He hoped to get about 2,000 online supporters by February. In 36 hours, he had 4,700 and temporarily had to shut the site. Thus was born the Pirate Party, Sweden's newest political organization, marking the point at which file sharers moved from swapping songs to try and change the political landscape in the next general election in September.
Awesome.
Its ambition is simple: abolish the copyright and patent laws. Now that's pretty goddamn good.
Could you imagine how cool it would be if they actually got into power?
Yeah, that'd be great. We'll all move to Sweden, I guess.
Arr. The Pirate Party.
I know, but I mean, and if they did, then there would be your proof. I mean, you'd be able to see what it'd be like without the copyright laws.
Sure.
And then, people could turn around and say, oh, that's what it's like. Maybe we should be doing the same. It's not going to make too much difference for people. It may even help it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the world didn't end when copyright laws ended, you know. It's like not like this doomsday scenario we've been fed by the RAA and the MPAA. That, you know, if we all copy music, then no music will ever get produced anymore, no films will ever get produced anymore. Yep. And that's simply not the case. I mean, people don't make films and make... Well, films, sort of like sometimes, they're just made to make money, obviously, by Hollywood, but certainly music and bands, I mean, I'm sure most of them, at least all except the kiddie bands, which deserve to get executed anyway, but, you know, all the major producers of decent music don't do it just to make money, they do it so that they can get their artwork out to people. You know,
yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, I download my, you know, a few songs off an album, I'll see a band, I think, who are they? Let's download them. And the majority of the time I listen, I think, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? And then you get the album just because it's nice to actually have on your shelf the actual album with the cover and the fancy artwork and stuff. I mean, yeah, so necessarily, I'm actually then, because of the downloading, it's making me go out and buy more.
Yeah,
and I think we've stressed many times in this show that, you know, if you support the artists, definitely go out and buy the product. But obviously, if you think it's a piece of crap, then don't. That's, you know, that's the way things should really work. Because, you know, you need to have that tester of what it's actually like. And, you know, you pick up these... without free media, without... If you enforced the copyright regulations, you will not have music at all. Because people couldn't, you know, share music. You couldn't go, hey, listen to this track. You know, I couldn't pick up, like, just an example, I was watching a Tunnel Crash movie online on YouTube, and it had a really good little backing track, and I thought, that's awesome, I've got to find out who made that, and I did. Without, if this copyright law was enforced to the fullest, there would be no music on the backing track. You know, you wouldn't be able to hear, it wouldn't have the same effect, and it just cuts on you know, it cuts down on expressive art forms. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. But that's the way the corporates want it.
Yeah.
You can't make money out of it. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I know. Some people are just stupid, I guess.
And in UK news, millions face compulsory water metering to combat droughts. Several million households across southeast England could be forced to install water meters within months to address what is shaping to become Britain's worst drought in 30 years. The Environmental Minister, Elliot Morley, yesterday gave the clearest signal yet that metering could become compulsory. It is sensible for companies to apply compulsory metering water for water. As water is a very scarce in the south and southeast, we have had an exceptionally dry winter on the Met, and the Met Office is not suggesting that we are going to see heavy rainfall in the near future, which is a good thing because the south is always fucking pissing down. Yeah. A country that always fucking rains, how is it possible that we don't have enough water?
Yeah.
Did nobody consider huge water reservoirs capturing this rain and then filtering it? Did nobody think about that? I guess not, you know?
Never mind.
Pretty crazy, really, because they're saying, oh, we're going to have a really dry summer now, you know. The weather forecasters can't even get it right for tomorrow, let alone it's halfway in the middle of summer.
Mm-hmm.
How do they even know that?
We're going to get to summer, it's going to be pissing it down as usual.
Yeah, it's always, like, middle of summer, it's raining, you know?
Hmm.
I don't see how... It's just... What the fuck are they doing? Are they, like, putting... You know, Swiss cheese pipes, you know, that's probably why the fucking, the whole of the installation of waterworks is so aged that it leaks so much water. You know, the amount of actual waste from the mains pipes is enormous, you know, the amount of water that is actually wasted before it even gets to your house exceeds, you know, the reservoirs and stuff. So they're a bit dipsy on that side, I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, I do love the weathermen.
Yeah.
In fact, I love the weathermen more.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
There are some really nice ones on the BBC, aren't they?
Oh, I definitely like the one that was at GMTV, whether they...
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Too bad. Yeah, this is all right. Not my type.
How can you say that?
Too fat.
GMT weather lady must do weather while taking off clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm just doing no...
Make it more interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
They've got that in Spain, don't they? Where the weather ladies just gradually derobe. As they
I think I've seen something.
Scotch-jaw. Chris Waddle.
See, it'd be quite amusing to be someone standing there. It's like, yes, and down about where my nipple is, you'll see large amounts of rain. And that would be cool.
Precipitation.
Oh, I don't even know why I'm laughing now. It's good. Right, back from the daydream. Hey.
Yeah. Yes. Hey.
Apparently, pubs in Yeovil are now going to start scanning drinkers' fingerprints as well.
Who's that?
It's on the news on the floor. Apparently, pubs are going to require people who drink there to have to register with the club beforehand and have their fingerprint taken, just so they know they're... to weed out the troublemakers, they're going to have a scattergun approach and take everybody's details, and instead of just arresting the troublemakers, they're going to start fingerprinting everyone.
See, now that's a pretty good idea. I do like that. Yeah, but the amount of weirdos you get in these clubs and pubs nowadays, but I mean, it just makes me laugh. It's in a little Somerset town. I mean, where is it? Let's see.
It's in Yeovil.
Yeovil?
Where the hell's that?
Oh, it's
Somerset.
Yeah. As I say, yeah, it was quite a nice little village, but very strange to have biometric. Yeah, let's have biometric finger scans.
Yeah,
in case a cow tries to get in.
Yeah. If you've got a finger, you're fine. If can't anyone sheep in with you, sorry.
So sheep, I'm sorry, you're troublemakers. Get out.
It does bring an interesting problem, though, that if you're just down there for the weekend, or if you're just staying in a hotel somewhere near there and you just want to go out for a drink at night, will they let you in? Or you say, no, you're not being fingerprinted, you can't get in. Sorry.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It'd be quite good if they did that over a whole kind of wide network of things, and they could have like a whole story. Well, no, I suppose that's another invasion of privacy, storing everyone's fingerprints everywhere. I mean, you know what I mean? It's kind of, they could have a link to say... You know, scan it and be like, wow, yes, I see you went in this club. And
you're drinking too much.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes, I saw you could 20 charge.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's just fucking ridiculous, you know? Yeah. Why do you need to be fingerprinted to have a good drink? Why not just enforce the law instead of trying to, you know... it's just stupid. I mean, nobody's going to stop causing trouble. You can, you know, do something once, and then you never go back in. But yeah, isn't
that's
that
why it works now?
Could you just not get barred from the pub?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, but then again, I think it's kind of trying to more combat the more serious ones. I mean, it was not that long ago. It's like when I was staying down in Exeter. It was just kind of really dodgy because the next day, there was all the police in night before, and no one really knew what happened. Next day, it came out there's a murder in the pub.
Right.
And so it just kind of really makes you feel a whole better about going to this club again. Yeah, so I think they're just trying to kind of add an extra element of security. I mean, even if it doesn't work too much, it gives the impression of security more.
Well, that's just what the government loves to do.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, with the troublemakers nowadays, I mean, a lot of them don't tend to be the most intelligent people, so they go, but biometric, what's that? And yeah, so they're not going to really kind of worry about going in there because they think, oh, fuck that, let's go a newer one that doesn't.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'll be enforced to the to extreme standards.
No.
You said crazy.
Biometrics will now be enforced in your own house.
Yeah.
You have to get a fingerprint scan to enter your toilet.
So please put your finger on the toilet bowl.
The flush will not operate unless your finger is scanned.
Oh dear.
In case
that
you can't hold that long, please take your finger and stick it up your ass as a plug.
Are there any biometric scanners in your anus?
Your deposit has now been authorized.
Everyone will be sent to Google to be stored on file.
For further analysis.
We have determined by far the most efficient method of biometric identification is anal probe.
Yes.
Therefore...
Companies now all over the world are installing anal probes on all entry points and exits to their buildings. Visitors must derobe and insert a inch-long probe inside the anus.
Yeah, so now you kind of come back to the alien visitors that wrote the giant word fuck. Maybe it wasn't the aliens, maybe it was this biometric anal probe. And someone then carved it out so large because they couldn't think of a word to describe the pain they were feeling. And so they kind of decided, what's the best thing I can write? Fuck!
His name was Eddie. Actually, it's interesting because at the university I used to go to, they used to have a mascot. It was a huge bunny called Eddie.
Maybe Eddie got fucked.
Yeah, I think it was him.
So I feel like adding some own personal music to this, I've realised, this episode. So, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, you can do the solo again.
I can't do it now, I'm sober, man. I have to get drunk to work.
Well, I was writing a song about man boobs on the way home because my MP3 player cut out halfway. And so I was sitting there just singing a good song about man boobs. Looking down at my chest. I've got a nice pair of breasts. Holding my tits in my hand.
Man boobs! He's got a man boobs!
And then in the middle, to add to the effect, you can have the clinking of beer.
Yes.
Beer!
So every episode I do when I'm totally sloshed, I always, it's compulsory that I do the Hacker Voice karaoke to whatever may be playing in the background. However, when I do sober up the following day and listen back to them, I thoroughly regret it releasing to the world, seeing as I know somebody in North Korea will be able to hear this shit and think, what the fuck is happening in England? I'm lucky I'm here.
Because they haven't come and hunt you down yet.
Or they think, oh, they have so much freedom, they can, you know, do drunken karaoke and not get arrested.
That's one freedom we don't want.
Yeah. We should have a whole separate section for Bilal's drunken karaoke.
Yes.
You know, collate all the clips from the show. Create a wonderful song.
Maybe.
I wouldn't call it wonderful.
No. I know, and people don't like it, so I guess I won't do it anymore.
It's just sort of taking a piss, I guess, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's all good. But
To be honest, it wasn't meant to be good. I wasn't trying to be like the elite karaoke hacksaw.
You hacksawed my voice.
You bastard.
He's that crazy. Oh. I don't know why I'm just going mental. I think I've had too many E numbers this evening. Yeah. I'm just kind of go.
We should try karaoke for the next London 2600.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah, so who can sing along to Te Hacksaw?
Hacksaw. Das keyboard.
Keyboard.
It is black and it has no keys. I remember that.
Oh man, I still have that episode. I just love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's genius. It really is genius.
Yes.
Yeah. One. We still have to do that. Get together with that episode and create our song.
Oh yes, definitely. We've been putting that off too long.
We have.
Yeah.
Needs to be done. We must meet up. Go stay in a hotel somewhere in London again.
Yeah.
Bring some guitars, some porn, and sing about.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That has to be done one day.
It will.
Maybe after the next meeting.
Yeah. Why not?
So advance warning to all you listeners, buy some earmuffs. Or plugs.
Or just don't listen to it.
Just don't listen to it, fair enough. I don't know why I said earmuffs at first, because they just keep your ears warm and you still be able to hear us.
Yeah. But you'd just be pleasantly cosy.
Yes. Advance warning, get cosy while you listen to the crowd.
Get your ears destroyed from the inside while they're nice and cosy and warm outside.
Oh, you're good. Good fun.
Right, we're 5 minutes over.
No.
No.
Oh my god.
We made in Korea.
We could.
I don't know where that came from.
We could go on forever, couldn't we?
We could.
Yeah. I think many people would appreciate that.
Yes, I think they will. They have to download a 60 gig wave file.
Uncompressed.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yes, I'm nearly 0.5% through the file. Well, actually, no, with this new 100 megabits per second line, you'll be down in there.
In a matter of minutes, yeah.
There you go, new use of 100 megabit line.
Yeah, we're already got 60 gigabytes. So,
due to the release of 100 megabits broadband in certain areas, all our episodes now will be recording in WAV files, uncompressed. 1,000 kilobit stream.
Good luck with that.
Yes.
I'm sure your bandwidth from the server will take it nice and well.
Not.
Well, I'm sure with a couple of episodes your computer storage will run out.
Yeah. You can only listen to one and then you have to delete it.
Yes. I filled up my hard drive with one radio show. Oh no.
These hackers are crazy.
That's crazy hackers. That's crazy hack sword.
My hard disk.
My hard dick is... Oh, I get your wrong. Is it not dick? Oh, you English crack me up.
You Brits are so crazy with your accents.
G'day, mate. Oh, crikey. It's the kind of Steve Irwin computer style. Oh, here we have the ZX81, mate. Boy, crikey, it's a beaut. Oh, dude, man, I love that guy. He's a crazy psycho. It's like, oh, let's see what happens when I rip out his insides.
Oh, the chips are going everywhere.
Oh, shit, man, let's get my soldering iron out. See where I can hack to this baby. Oh, no, I've soldered my fingers to it. Going on, mate?
You gotta be careful so you don't get a tape loading error.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's see what happens when I send 5,000 volts through the bugger. Yeah. So, anyway. I'm sure the mental institution will be sending around people very shortly.
I can see them coming now.
I'm quite scared that you can see them. Are you both watching me? No, yes. No, the paranoia is gone there.
Yes, I've got little video cameras set up just
actually. I've got my webcam on, so if you did call me on Skype, you probably would be able to see me waving.
No.
So anybody out there, call Tikish on Skype and say hello to his crazy face. But not now, because he's using it.
Ah.
We're using your face.
Your face is being interfaced with Skype.
Yes. That will be the next thing coming up on one of these Japanese conventions, isn't it? Actually interface into your computer. That little kind of screen, you just stick your face in it, and it's like, boom.
It'll be exciting. Like one of those pin things that you stick your face in, the pins, and it'll push up. And
you'll be able to feel people's faces from all over the world.
Yeah.
And if you really didn't like him, just poke him in the eye.
Oh, yeah, long-distance eye poking. Well,
new vulnerability found in face.
It's not denial of service, it's denial of poking.
Deny the site.
Yeah.
See, that would you know, be a whole new thing with like internet dating, with actually kiss your partner online.
Yeah.
Yeah, without having to see their ugly face. You could actually then, you know, have like something of Angelina Jolie up the other side. Yeah, they don't know. They think it's them. But you've got a secret thing of Angelina Jolie there and you're just kissing her.
AngelinaJolie'sArsehole.com.
Yes.
With the new arsehole adapter, USB 2.0, you can now experience the multitude of pleasures of...
Oh.
I've been meaning to patent that shit. Like a little one of those, just one of those, you know, vibrator things, but
less
it's
light.
USB, connects up to a little application that works over the internet, and allows you to interact with your partner.
Yeah, I've actually seen some of these things online. I mean,
yeah.
Admittedly, was going to get some with my ex-girlfriend, but right. That never kind of happened. But basically, I mean, because of the long-distance relationship, you know...
She blocked you on MSN.
Oh, dear. No! But, yeah, there was actually a whole vibrator kit you could buy online.
Wow.
Like one that was controlled by the number pad on your keyboard. you could increase and decrease the, like, the speed.
Oh, no, Snumlock!
Yes, let's take it to the end. Yes, oh dear, I'm going mad. But that, I mean, you know, that is quite a, you know, advanced, crazy sex. I think that, you know, it's quite interesting, you know, actually interacting with the person across here. It's the next stage from webcams, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's actually controlling your porn star's vibrator.
Of all the great uses of online tools, porn has to be the first new age. Always.
Well, it was, you know, without porn, there would be no internet as we see it today.
No.
Well, that's my belief, you know? Well, yeah, pop-ups and stuff, but that was if you were running a really shit system back in the day, or Windows 95.
Oh, I still remember Windows 98. You're sitting there every 5 minutes.
Netscape.
You'd have the same Internet Explorer 4. You'd load up, and you see hot Russian teams come up. They always want you as well.
Always. They never have enough, do they?
No, I mean, we've got so many hot Russian teams, don't even know what I look like and what me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And yeah, it's like my 80-year-old granddad sitting there saying, hot Russian team wants him.
Oh, no.
This doesn't even bear thinking about.
It's quite scary.
Is she a fetish girl or something? Everything fetish?
Everything fetish. They all are in these crazy Russian websites. Comrade.
Yeah, there are no more fetishes now. Everything's just been so mainstream.
Yeah, as you say, I mean, there was a whole, like, extreme sex law passed a long time ago.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to get, like, tried by it anymore. Because extreme sex would be classed as killing each other now, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the only boundaries you come to. I mean, especially with Bukkake. That's just crazy, you know?
Bukkake.
There's a whole thing, like, against, like, Bukkake. A while back, they just kind of completely tried to take it off the market because it was just apparently the most fucked up and degraded thing. But instead, they turned into Blue Coffee, as before instead.
Yeah, that was my little idea of...
Yes. Genius.
Genius.
I'm actually going insane, so I apologise to all you listeners out there.
What's new, eh?
Well, yes, it's good fun.
Right, let's see about closing the show off so that this file isn't terribly large.
Yes.
And, we have something left over for Monday's show, which will be the 100th episode. And please do contribute to any ideas you may have. However crazy or retarded they may be, stick them in the post provided in the Hacker Voice Radio forums, and that will be much appreciated.
I want to say a big thank you tonight to Lucas Aid.
Yes,
he's a fantastic workmate.
Definitely.
Thanks, Lucas Aid.
Well, that was a good show.
Definitely.
Enjoy it, or I'll kill you all the listeners.
via NetSend.
Via NetSend.
Not via Bluetooth hacking.
Everyone on the listener's show will suddenly have a pop-up message come up saying, you know, it's computer, computer tick says, die.
Okay, let's round things up, and just want to give everybody a... just want to wish everybody a good weekend. I know I will have one. A few things in plan. And yes. As always, you can send pertinent news stories or anything to radio@hackervoice.co.uk. Let us know if you enjoy our shows or not. And thank you guys for popping on the show.
Cheers for having us.
No problemos. it's a good night for me.
Good night, everybody.
Indeed, and I'll leave everyone with that little tune that I played at the start. Good night.